We're going to be reading from verses 7 to verse 26, and our preaching will be on verses 15 to 21 of this chapter. And in this chapter, Joseph's father has just died, and his brothers are in great fear that Joseph's wrath will come upon them. But Joseph, by God's grace, sees that there's a more important purpose involved in all these things. Genesis chapter 50, reading from verse 7, let us hear God's word. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph and his brethren, and his father's house, only their little ones, and their flocks, and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. And they went up with him, both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan, and there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land of the Canaanites saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, "This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians." Wherefore the name of it was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them, for his sons carried him into the land of Canaan, and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham brought with the field for possession of the burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall he say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee, the trespass of thy brethren, and their sin, and they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of my father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you, and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence." So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Our text will mainly focus on verses 15 to 21 of this section of God's holy and infallible word. I think we can all agree here today, we're all suffering. We're all suffering in these unusual and difficult times. Some more, and some less. Many are suffering through the isolation that this has brought. I praise God that I have my family with me during this time. There are some people who don't have that great blessing. But we are all suffering. We all greatly miss one another. We've been created in God's image. And because we're God's image bearers, just as the triune God between the persons of the Trinity enjoyed blessed fellowship, so we also have been created in such a way that we desire that fellowship, one with another, one image bearer with another. This pandemic has not just challenged our health service, it's also challenged our minds mentally, our bodies physically, and our faith. We are all suffering, but the question is, how do we respond to this suffering? What should we do? And if you spend any time online, sadly it can seem like a bit of a war. Should we seek revenge? Should we seek to find out who is to blame for all this? And there can be a place for that. But what are we to take today from this, our suffering, from, you could say, our exodus from normal life? There's a lot of anger around. It would be foolish to ignore it. Should we not first and foremost look at the purpose of all these things that are happening to us through the lens of Scripture, through the eyes of Scripture? And we have to also acknowledge we won't understand everything. We won't understand why is this happening now and this time. We don't know. Just like Joseph didn't know when he went and he was sold into slavery and sent to prison for a false charge. But we have enough in Scripture to comfort, to guide us, and to equip us, and to show us and remind us what Romans 8:28 says. All things work together for good to them that love God. It's very easy to just say that verse and not truly feel the full brunt of what that means. All things work together for good to them that love God. That we would see, as Joseph saw here in this passage, the eternal purpose of all this. Why these things are happening to us. We look at Scripture. And if we think of cruel injustices, we think, of course, of Christ, who suffered greatly. The just for the unjust. We also have another here, Joseph, who suffered cruel injustices at the hands of his own kith and kin, his own flesh and blood, his own brothers. Make no doubts about it, Joseph suffered greatly. In verse 15 of Genesis chapter 50, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Now Joseph was in a position of power over his former oppressors. His father is dead. What does he do? What does he do? What should he do in this situation? What do we learn from Joseph in the midst of his suffering for this very day? With our suffering today in mind, let us first look at the suffering of Joseph. The suffering of Joseph. As we see in verse 15, Joseph's father is dead. And here we can see Joseph's brothers are worried. They're scared. They see the great evil that they have done to him. They were so worried, in fact, they sent a messenger. They didn't go on their own to speak on their own behalf. Verse 16, and they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died." They had done a great evil to their own brother. Let's remind ourselves what Joseph suffered and what he endured, as verse 20 tells us, to save much people alive. Joseph was the favorite of his father Jacob. We can argue whether Jacob should have made him having favorites. But the fact of the matter was, he was his father's favorite because of his mother Rachel, and also because of Joseph's piety, his holy living. He brought great joy to his father. Jacob even made a multicolored coat, such as the princes would wear. He lavished love upon his son, Joseph. Joseph would expose or tell on the sins of his brothers. I don't know about you, but any of the young people who might be here today, and if you've ever told on your brothers, and your brothers or sisters are doing something wrong, I probably imagine that you would not be liked, perhaps, by your brothers afterwards. Joseph's brothers hated him for this, for being his father's favorite. He also had dreams. They thought, who is this guy? Who does he think he is, having these dreams from God that he will be above us at some stage in the future? And through their travels, they took a young boy of 17 years old, Joseph, as they traveled to Dothan, and they plotted against him. They plotted against him. They wanted to kill him. They eventually resolved to sell him into slavery, robbing Joseph of his freedom, of his dear father, and of his family. His freedom, his family, and his father, who loved him dearly, were snatched out of his hand. Imagine this, if this ever happened to you, a person 17 years old, just venturing out into the world to look after the sheep, maybe overprotected it until this point, we're not exactly sure. But how would you react if your brothers turned around one day and sold you into slavery? How would you seek revenge? He then serves as a slave, and then he's accused of one of the worst crimes you can be accused of, forcing himself upon a woman. And he's thrown into prison on a false charge. Joseph could have yielded to those advances, but he ran away. But the Lord was with him. The Lord preserved him. And from the age of 17 to the age of 30, he suffered greatly, 13 years of slavery and of prison. And even then, at the age of 30, he comes before Pharaoh, made then exceedingly powerful in the land. He is still robbed of his family. He is still robbed of the presence of his people. We have but a taste of this pain here today. COVID-19 has robbed us all of freedom, of family, and has separated us from our people. Two months I have found difficult personally, but I can only imagine what 13 years of those conditions is like, and even longer without his people. And this is not a competition, dear brethren. This is not a competition for who has suffered the most, but we can learn from Joseph's suffering. And surely we can learn from the suffering of Christ himself, who is Christ suffered far more than any of us ever will or ever could for crimes he never committed. Verse 17 of Genesis 50 says this: "So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Joseph wept. Joseph has just lost his father, who he hasn't seen for much of his life. And his brothers are worried because they know they have caused this pain. But Joseph weeps when he hears this. Next point we're going to look at. Number two. Joseph gives place to God. Joseph gives place to God. Verses 18 and 19 states the following: And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? What would we do if we lost everything? In terms of our home, our business, even our family. Not too long ago, it was common for many of the Puritans to experience the pain of the death of children during the times of people like John Owen. Child mortality was a lot higher than it is today. They experienced much pain, much sorrow, even outside times of plague or even times of famine. But what would we do if we lost everything in terms of our home, our business? We've never had to face much of these things which are common across human history in our Western culture. If we go across history, we realize we're somewhat unusual. We live relatively comfortably compared to the rest of the previous 6,000 years. What do we do when we face these losses, things? And this pain is real and the suffering is real. There are people who have worked for businesses, built them up for generations, father to son, and so on. And this COVID-19 threatens businesses and everything else. But what do? Do we seek blame? Is it China or the WHO or whoever is the person to quote unquote blame? Now in our context here in verse 17 of Genesis chapter 50, Joseph has already seen that his brethren have repented. He has seen by their actions. They had an opportunity many years ago to sell out their brother Benjamin, who was caught with his cup, and they didn't. Joseph got to see that they changed. Joseph by now had forgiven them. He weeps. He does not see it his place to enact the justice of God. Fear not, for am I in the place of God. I want us to keep reminding yourselves of this. We will never see perfect justice this side of eternity. There are riots taking place in different parts of the world through what people see as injustice, but we will never see perfect justice this side of eternity. We will see justice. The wrath of God will be poured upon people for all eternity. That will be justice. But it is not mere man's place. And Joseph saw that it was not his place. It says in Romans 12:19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Even now that his father is gone, even now that they are at completely and utterly at Joseph's mercy, he makes it clear, am I in the place of God? In our suffering, which is real, and we should empathize and pray for as we go through this suffering. But our suffering can never be used as an excuse for sin. We should be gracious towards people going through extreme hardships and difficulty. But in our suffering, do we, like Joseph, give place to God? Or do we try to enact our own justice through impatience? I don't know how much or how many of the riots were through impatience for justice, or if it was just people acting sinfully, was sinful, whatever the case. But we ought not to be impatient. We ought to wait for God's timing. Duties are ours, but the consequences belong unto God. Your suffering is real. Your pain is real. But I beg of you, dear Christians, when you face those times when bitterness comes into your heart, when anger, resentment for your brothers, especially when they've repented, say with Joseph, for am I in the place of God? We cannot judge as wisely as God judged. It's an impossibility. Sometimes we want to be in control of everything. I thank God that I am not in control. If we knew the future, it wouldn't help us. Everything we need for the future is in the scriptures to comfort us, to equip us, and to enable us, and the Spirit of God to guide us. We cannot judge as wisely as God does. So give place to God as Joseph once did. We won't often see like Joseph saw, that there's a grand, overarching, grand purpose of God. And I beg of you, dear Christians, to see this grand, overarching purpose of God to get us through what is facing us in the future. Point number three, Joseph sees God's good purpose. Joseph sees God's good purpose. Joseph doesn't ignore, he didn't ignore the evil that his brothers did. And this is very clear from verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. He's not saying, that's okay. It's not what he is saying. He acknowledges that his brothers did evil. But ultimately, above anything else, it was this. God sent him. Verse 20, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. God sent him into slavery. God sent him ultimately into prison, into bondage, and into Egypt. Away from his freedom, away from his father, and away from his family, his people. Why? God meant it unto good. All for a good purpose. But this is evil that takes place. This is horrible. He goes into slavery. We should be angry. God's purposes, his decrees, the things he has brought to pass are good, righteous, and holy. Yes, his brothers plotted and did evil and did wrong. But God's purpose here was to save much people alive. I often see these kind of comments about, did God send COVID-19? Is he not sovereign? Is he not in control? Dear brethren, every atom in the universe, every fiber of hair, every dust particle, every star in the universe is controlled by Almighty God. Of all the least inconsequential things we can think of, it is in the power of Almighty God. He has, as our confession tells us, he has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Much more than he just knows about everything. He is in control of everything. Even the wickedness of Joseph's brothers. Even the dark schemes of those who think they are in power. We know one thing. This plague season we are going through, it is here for a reason. And it is part of God's decree, a good, just, holy, and righteous reason. regardless of the means that may have come about to bring it to pass, whatever the case may be, God's reason was a good, just, holy, and righteous reason. God can do nothing but that which is holy. God meant it for good. And what good did it do Joseph? What good did it do Joseph? We might ask. Verse 20. To save much people alive. To save much people alive. Can you imagine those years he spent in prison, in slavery, wondering probably if he would ever see his family again? We don't know exactly. He did have those dreams from an early age where his son, where his brothers would be subservient to him. But what would have happened to Israel in those 7 years of famine that took place? If you remember, Joseph was released from prison and given a high office in the land because he was able to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh. That there would come 7 years of plenty, and after those 7 years of plenty would come 7 years of famine. What would have happened to Israel, Jacob, to his brothers, had it not been for Joseph being sent into Egypt? Would they not have perished through the famine? To save much people alive. There was a divine overarching purpose in all this suffering. Joseph, through God's providence, helps Egypt to prepare for 7 years of famine. And that preparation gave God's people a place to live, to grow, to multiply. That land of Goshen, which was in between Egypt and what later became the land of Israel. Then through this means, Jacob's family grows. God meant it for good. Israel becomes a large nation. No longer just a small family, as it were, coming over into Egypt. And it kept separate from the Egyptian people because shepherds were an abomination unto the Egyptians. But what good may come from COVID-19? It might seem like a bizarre question. What good can come from this? I can't wait for it to be over. Who knows if this will not cause and bring about a means through which the church would repent and be ever closer to God, to see the importance of worship before an almighty and holy God. A nation, perhaps. Perhaps these nations, these islands, would repent and return to the solemn league and covenant of 1643, where they swore to uphold the Reformed faith. Perhaps it will lead to families who once neglected family worship to repenting and growing in this area. Perhaps. We don't know. We don't know the ends from the beginning, just like God knows. But God knows. And there is a good, just, and holy reason why this is coming to pass. Why we're going through our exodus from normality. Trust Him. We may not see what is coming, and we surely don't. We know that Christ will return. We know that He will bring in the new heavens and a new earth. These things we do know. But we don't know when we last breathe our last breath. We don't know how much more time we have on this earth. COVID-19 or no COVID-19. But I pray that each and everyone hearing this message knows Christ. You may be able to develop a vaccine to immunize yourself from a condition, but you cannot immunize yourself from the wrath of God. We need to know Christ, who paid the sin debt, who obeyed the law perfectly in the place of sinners like you and like me. We must keep in our focus that eternal purpose, that God meant it for good. Let us follow Joseph's example and trust that God has a good and sovereign purpose, even though we don't see it, even though we will struggle with depression, we will struggle with all sorts of things. But let us constantly set before our eyes the promise of Almighty God: I will be a God unto you and unto your children, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. There is a good and sovereign purpose to all these difficult things. In conclusion, we're all suffering here this day. I remember there'd be people you'd visit who are housebound, and their faces would light up when you visit them. We dearly miss fellowship, and it hurts us. But there are times and seasons where these things are necessary. And we need to be wise. We need to be prudent. We need to trust in our God in heaven. But how do we respond to a loss of life? Loss of liberty? Maybe the loss of your business? Perhaps that is even going on right now for some of you. These are not easy things to face. And I don't want to give the impression that, oh, well, Joseph suffered far more, so it's no problem. No, no, no. You're suffering. These things are not easy to face. But we need to face them in Christ. Do you trust here this day, dear Christian, that Christ will feed you and nourish you? There's a wonderful thing in verse 21. Joseph turns around and says, "Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. There are many ways in which Joseph points towards Christ. Joseph nourished and upheld them as their sovereign in that land. Do we trust that God will see us through? That He will provide far better than Joseph did for his people in the land of Egypt and the land of Goshen? Do you see that God is in control? Do we see that God is good? That might seem like such a trite thing to say, but God is good, that we keep God's promises before our eyes, that we keep reminding ourselves of the things that God has promised to those who trust in Him, to those that are His people, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. And do we, like Joseph, do we forgive? Do we give place to God? Do we show that kind of love, that tenderness, that kindness that Joseph showed? Surely we fail miserably when it comes to emulating Christ in many, many ways. But We are to be like Christ. We are to forgive our brothers and embrace them and uphold them. Joseph here is so forgiving and so loving to people who have hurt him deeply. There is a good purpose to your suffering here this day. Though you may not see it here and now. Dear brethren, even though it is difficult, let us be excited about the future. Let us be excited what's coming ahead. We may think, when can I open my business again? When can we open the schools again? Let us be excited about the future. Who is in control of everything? God Almighty. It's not the Northern Ireland Assembly. It's not Westminster. It's God. Oh, that sounds wonderful, but no buts. Are we excited about the future when this King of Kings and Lord of Lords extends his kingdom and he uses means of great difficulty, of great suffering? How much suffering that our covenanting forefathers go through. Some of the greatest periods of suffering for the Christian church have also been some of the greatest outpourings of the Spirit of God. Some of the greatest times of revival. Some of the greatest in gatherings of God's people. Let's be excited about the future. Amen.